You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
I'm telling you, the sweet spot of a movie. You give me 90 good minutes, 90 to 110. Mm-hmm. That's like perfect.
Right. See, now I gotta find out how long Forrest Gump was.
Forrest Gump was like. Wasn't it 3 hours?
I remember it as like 2 hours 40.
If you're 100% accurate, I'm gonna be so mad. 2 hours 22.
Oh, 2 hours 20. Damn it!
Yeah, off by 20.
You saw the director's cut, Snyder cut.
No, I saw the cable version.
Oh man, I want to talk about this. Have you guys seen Tenet?
No,
not yet.
No, I haven't yet.
Jesus Christ! I'm like. There's movies that are complex, and then there's movies that are just trying to be purposefully distracting. Not distracting, just confusing. I have no idea what that movie's about.
Where does Inception fall on that line for you?
Inception is the perfect.
I think it is the line, yeah.
That's the line. Inception is the line where it's like, okay, it takes some work, but once you figure it out, like, oh my God, this movie's amazing. Tenet, and by the way, I almost risked my life, right? Remember Tenet opened only in theaters? And I remember asking all my friends, is this the thing you risk breaking COVID quarantine for? Because I think it might be for me. I almost did it for Tenet. And then I chickened out at the end, but I was so upset. I was like, man, da da da. And then it came out on demand. But it was like $20. Like, oh, I'll pay $20. I'm gonna watch this by myself. It's not like even I have a group of people. So I said, I'll just wait. So then I heard it's on HBO Max now. I was like, okay, here we go. I fired it up and I'm watching and I'm just like, instantly, what the is going on. And then as it keeps going, I'm like, okay, you'll understand more and more. But it just gets more complicated because they introduce more people. And I don't know if you guys know this about it. Part of it goes backwards. It's just...
What is the list of movies you'd risk your life for?
Having now seen them?
Yeah.
Inception.
Risk your life. So if I said Inception is coming out this weekend in theaters, you might get the coronavirus. You'll still go?
No, this is what... I'll take it a step further. If you had said this last July, I would have gone.
Really?
I would have gone. Inception was that good. Like, it's good enough. Like, on my deathbed, I'd say, tell them I have no regrets.
It was a good movie. Leo was good in it. Elliot Page was good in it. It was a pretty good movie.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Tom Hardy. Oh, man, what a cast. What a cast. Oh, what's my man from Third Rock from the Sun?
Jordan Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Elliot Page is a bit of a random casting for that one. Like, it's kind of like in the context of that movie, like, she kind of sticks out.
What's the French actress's name? I love her. I never know her name. She's in everything. She plays a French woman in
Marion Cotillard?
Oh, Cotillard. What's the other movie to risk your life for? Shit, Raiders of the Lost Ark might be it, man.
Yeah.
I've never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh,
you haven't? What? Oh, wow.
No.
That's good cinema for you to check out.
That's
there.
Cinema. You gotta say cinema.
Cinema?
Oh, yeah, cinema.
Is it an Italian word?
Cinema?
Yeah. It feels like it, don't
it? It is. And you gotta do this emoji here. Yeah, there you go. Dominic DeCocco.
I love doing the bring all your fingers together Italian thing.
Other you brought up Forrest Gump, and I was looking at the Oscars because it won Best Picture. It was that. The nominations was that, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and The Shawshank Redemption. I'm like,
how the f did
Forrest Gump win that?
Well, I mean, here's the crazy thing. Quiz Show was a damn good movie, and people don't remember that. Like, if you name those movies now, people love Pulp Fiction. People love Forrest Gump. People love Four Weddings and a Funeral. What was the other one?
Shawshank.
Yeah, people love Shawshank.
Was in that category.
But like Quiz Show, I would bet most people haven't seen Quiz Show.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was a bit too.
I hate to break it to you, but cinema is not an Italian word; it's a French word. So it'd be cinema. Cinema.
But in Italian, it's cinema.
Cinema.
Other movies, Pulp Fiction might be one. Am I going a little too hard on this? Like risking my life for some of these movies.
You might not make it out of there.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I saw Pulp Fiction but caught coronavirus as a result, like, I think it would be a fair trade-off. My whole thing is that Tenet, no. I would be livid on my deathbed.
Well, it was a good movie. It was a good life, you know, that sort of thing, I guess.
I mean, I missed it. Can you please tell me your opinion is that Tenet was terrible?
I can't even say it was terrible. I don't know what the it was about. Okay.
Yeah. Which is generally the mark of a terrible movie.
Yeah. There's got to be the sweet spot between, like, I'm thinking the whole time and it's challenging to be able to pay attention, but not so much that it supersedes my absorbing even the story.
Right. And I think, like, so many times all I could think of is, wait, can they see each other when they're walking backwards?
Yeah.
Because it seems like no one really pays attention to the people who are walking backwards.
No. There were so many rules of the world that were impacting my belief in the story, and they superseded the actual, like, absorbing the human interaction.
And the other thing was, me thinking about it didn't result in me understanding. And that upset me, too.
No.
It's not like, well, I had to spend time, but then I finally got it. I was like, I still don't get it.
And then you just reached a point of exhaustion. That's where I reached. Yeah.
If you're a person like Stugatz, you don't want to actually think during the movie.
You just
want to eat your popcorn and go home.
Stugatz, have you seen, they got the new Michael B. Jordan movie, Without Remorse. It's out on Amazon.
Sounds like something I would like.
Oh, it sounds like right down the middle, fastball, like just knock it out the park for Stugatz.
Without Remorse.
Yeah. It's a great movie title for Stugatz. Yes.
There's
a movie called Without Remorse. Stugatz,
he's trying to avenge the death of his family.
Oh, God, I love when there's an avenging of someone's family. I mean, it's great.
Isn't Russell Crowe, bloated Russell Crowe, didn't he do an Unhinged recently? That made me think of Stugatz, a movie just titled simply Unhinged.
How'd I miss it? What would be my ultimate movie title?
That's a great question right there.
Explode.
I mean, Die Hard is pretty good. Like, you're not just going to
die harder.
Yes, that's right. Then the assortment.
And then you're going to die hard with a vengeance.
Liar, liar.
I wanted to ask Amin and Whittingham, because Kate mentioned the pronunciation of Andre Iguodala, and she pronounced it Iguodala. She covered him for many years. Whittingham is our expert,
Iggy,
on pronunciations. Amin is our basketball guy. How do you pronounce it? Do you pronounce it Iguodala? Because I'm Latinizing it there, I believe. Or are you Iguodala? Do you pronounce it?
Well, Mike Breen on the television broadcast, I've generally heard him say Iguodala. So I imagine he studied it. But I'm with you. I would actually say Iguodala.
And I would like to add that I have no confidence in the way I said it. That historically pronouncing names has been a weak spot. So I'm not suggesting that I'm correct in any way in this, even having covered Andre.
I say Iguodala.
Wait, so you're kind of splitting the difference there.
I know.
you were kind of sneaking in right in the middle on something that I don't believe that you took a side there. I believe you sat squarely on the fence by just sort of steamrolling the U.
Which is very, very on brand for Amin today. kind of like splitting the difference and not really taking a stand.
You are a fence sitter today. Billy, I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to understand. I learned this weekend that Schwarber was a national. That was something that I just learned.
Schwarbs.
And I'm watching and I thought of you as soon as he comes up in the 10th inning because that seems like a particularly cruel way to lose. You go shut out nine innings, both teams shut out over nine innings, and then you arrive in the 10th inning and you arrive in a point where you score a run to take a 1-0 lead, and then they put a runner on second as they do now in extra innings, as you guys wanted them to do, and Schwarber hits the ball 454 feet to center field to end the game, and I thought of you being crushed there.
You thought correctly, Dan. That wasn't fun. Got swept by the Nationals. That's not great. Have you seen the standings, by the way, in the National League East? You'd like this. Look at the National League East standings, Dan, and the run differential. Tell me what you see there.
I'm not looking at it. But the Marlins are.
Let him guess.
The Marlins have the best run differential in the league. You understand? I feel like with sample size, I feel like run differential, you keep getting confused with sample size. That 20 games is not an accurate sample. 162 games is a
better sample size. They're the only team in the East with a positive run differential. Every team in the East has negative run differential, and the Marlins are in last place. What am I getting? Hold on a second. You're not turning this on me. You're the one that constantly brings up run differential, not me. How am I the one that's confusing
this? I do, but I do it with 160 games or 80 games or big sample sizes. Like, that's what I was telling you all last year about the Marlins, that they were a 500 team, but they weren't actually that good because it was a 60-game sample and their run differential stunk. Like,
that
60 games is better than 20 games. It's still not great, but 60 games is better than 20 games.
They've only played 20, Dan. I can't tell you what they're going to do in 60. That hasn't happened yet.
I understand. But when Amin, for example, Amin made an analysis on the Thunder earlier this year based on point differential, and you've seen what's happened since. They lose every game by 60 points.
Yeah, they had a terrible net rating, but at the time they were like 6-9 and 7-10, and they were just kind of hovering around 500, and people kept lauding them for being so good. And I said, look, the numbers don't lie. 500 teams or around 500 teams don't get blown out almost every night on their losses. And that's what was happening with the Thunder. Close wins and big losses.
Where does the number have to be, Amin, for you to feel representative on a sample in your sport, for it not to be too small a sample size to be dismissed?
20 games for a team, 500 minutes for a player.
20 games for a team feels representative to you and 500 minutes for a player. How would you do it in baseball since you're, or should I ask Chip, what's his name?
Well, Chip Bronson doesn't quite believe in analytics.
Of course he doesn't.
Let's hear
Chip.
More. I want to hear about his core value system.
Oh, okay, before I get started, I have to point out, when I played that character on Sports Nation, I literally was in character all day long. I got, because they had so much makeup
method
and stuff.
Acting.
I literally had to get mine a couple of hours early because obviously the stars like Michelle Beadle and Marcellus roll in right before the show starts. So I had to get mine done hours in advance, and then I had to walk around the LAPC hallways in character, basically stopping by desks and Chip Bronson, I'm new on the team.
Okay, I am tempted to have you be in character throughout today's show. Chip is joining us today. And to get analysis from Chip is where I'm tempted, but I need to make fun of Jessica here real quick as she chews her breakfast in the middle of our show.
Chip should be the one that tells us about Woj.
That's a good idea, actually. What Chip's theories are on how Woj does his job. But the reason that I mock Jessica on this at the moment is because her wheelhouse was just in play with something that Kate said, and she wasn't here because she was getting something to eat, and it moves very fast around here, so you shouldn't feel bad about this at all. It just moves very fast.
Look, I got in late last night. I didn't have a time to buy some snacks for the morning. I was a little peckish. It's 9:15. I've been up 3 hours now. Stugatz was kind enough to offer me a Kind bar.
I was.
But I don't want to take him up on that so soon. I feel like that's an abuse of our burgeoning relationship here.
I had an extra one for you. I mean, you're
Jessica, if I can ask a follow-up question. Did you pass on the Kind bar because you've just met Stugatz or because it has a lot of added sugar in it?
You know, it's a little bit of both.
I just want to clarify.
Yeah. No, it's true. But Dan, while we're on the topic of food, I actually have a surprise for everyone.
Wow.
Changing the subject, yes. So,
well done.
None of you wished me a happy birthday this weekend, except Witty and Chris. So,
is your birthday?
Just a heads up.
Well, I didn't know.
Yes.
So. Happy birthday.
I'm still not going to do it.
Baked a cake for my birthday.
Way to go, wow. Roy. Important stand nice. To take there. Roy refuses to wish happy birthdays in keeping with his general disposition.
No, I mean, she pointed it out over here talking about, like, I didn't wish her a happy birthday. I'm not going to do it.
No, not if she's thirsty.
Roy wishes you a bad birthday.
You don't have to wish me happy birthday. I was just saying that it was part of the story. I baked a cake for my birthday. Yes, baked myself a cake. It was a 4-layer cake. And we had a lot of leftovers. So I brought some here. In the wow. studio.
Wow. Oh, that's nice.
On my first day.
We're going to Kuiper this. We're going to have some pie in the morning.
I don't think we have utensils here.
No, we don't. We
but
don't.
I do have leftover a 4-layer cake.
Give it wow, up. That wow. looks decadent wow. in a so nice. In a Tupperware dish. It is nice.
Let's give it to Chris.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Does Roy wish unhappy birthdays? I'm
no, I just don't.
I wasn't asking for your opinion on this. I'm asking for a poll question.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
So I also am marveling at the idea that in an act of kindness, you literally offered someone a kind bar. You are not someone who gives easily. You are not someone who I associate generally with kindness. But let's introduce Jessica before I make fun of her again, because she did change the subject on what she missed out on and tried to throw a whole lot of, you might be Sugats, a whole lot of deflectors that involved cake with us to make everyone feel better about the comfort food. Let's welcome her our way.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
So what you missed out on, Jessica, is that Kate says she has a real hard time with last names, which is not something that I knew.
We got that in negotiations?
We did. We wrestled it away from them in negotiations. Wow. So where are you, Kate, with the pronunciation of Jessica's name? Do you know how? None of us. I'm scared of her name because I'm told it's like banana, but it seems like a different syllable count. And I'm not clear on what's happening with her last name.
Well, I listened to the first day you were on the show it might not have been the first day, but I listened to the podcast. And so I feel like I've actually mastered your last name. I think I'm going to say it Smetana.
Yeah, okay. She got it.
Which is unusual for me, but I did do some research.
Thank you. Well, yeah. Dan, when you said that I missed out on something that was my area of expertise, I was like, oh, Dan wants us to talk about women's
Anthony
college.
Rizzo.
Well, I was going to say like women's college hoops or something, but I walked in and it was no. Just still talking about the last name.
Yeah, still the last name. No, I tried to hijack the conversation and talk about women's hoops, but it didn't quite work yet. All right, Jessica.
I don't think that's what we should be doing on a Monday draft day. We are welcoming women into our environment, but let's settle down on the equality thing where we talk about women's basketball on a draft Monday. I think we have not talked enough about what it is that happened this weekend, Stugatz. There were some highlights. Jacoby Jones comes out. Every year there are a couple of guys who come out, grab the microphone, and star a little bit. He strutted out. Cleveland booed him, and he said, "Boo me all you want. I've got a ring." Ben Cleveland, incidentally, going to the Ravens. Have you seen this human being, Stugatz?
No.
From Georgia?
No.
He is a Georgia offensive lineman, and he must have typewriters for feet because he is 6'6", 350 pounds, and it's sculpted. Like, he looks like the mountain from Game of Thrones. You rarely see a person this large and this scary, but his feet must not move very well, because I can't imagine that as a guard, I'd rather have anybody than what this guy looks like. I don't know anything about guard play in the NFL. I'm guessing most of the people listening don't know anything about guard play in the NFL, but this Ben Cleveland looks like one of the scariest things I've ever seen. I would not want it charging at me, trying to keep me from someplace I was trying to get.
He takes the word guard to its logical conclusion.
You guys have seen how giant this person is. Now, he was in the third round. But he must not
be. I'm looking at him now.
He must not move very quickly.
He must not have typewriter for feet.
No, I'm saying he does have. I believe that typewriter for feet is an insult. I don't believe it's a compliment.
No, I think typewriter for feet is a fast offensive lineman who can type with his feet.
Louis Riddick meant it.
No, you guys are wrong. A typewriter for feet is a compliment for an offensive lineman. It means he can dance around and type a lot real quick.
No.
That's not what it means. It is a compliment, but that's not what it means.
Amin's going to get this right. Amin is going to get this right because it is a compliment, but why is it a compliment, Amin?
Because on a typewriter, that top roll thing moves laterally. Ding, like it moves very quickly laterally, and that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about being able to type. Why would he say typewriter?
He said it about like the top offensive line pick. It was like a compliment. It wasn't a guy who fell.
I don't think Amin is right either then, because I do think it's a compliment, but I just assume when he was saying typewriter that the feet go up and down real quick, that he moved, he could have just sent his feet move quickly, but I didn't do it laterally. Lewis Riddick said an offensive lineman had typewriter for feet. Your thoughts are what there, Kate? What is he trying to tell us?
I assume that the visual was synonymous with he has like cinder blocks for feet. Like, who would want typewriter for feet?
Right. It is right. It is a negative, but it was meant as a compliment. I just used it as a negative. I said that Ben Cleveland must have typewriter for feet because I was imagining that to be that large and go in the third round, it must mean that he's got actual heavy typewriters for feet that cannot move, and it is a burden, and it's why no one drafted him in the first round.
No, but I think perhaps the inability to move that much is a compliment to a guard. Like, it's hard to move with typewriters for feet, and I think a guard doesn't really need to move that much. Just stay there and maul people. I think it's a compliment.
What? Not how offensive line players work. Like, you need to be able to move.
Back when I was watching football. I mean.
The best O-linemen are the ones who can, like, whoever, I can't even keep track of who's on what side of the typewriter feet debate right now, but you have to be able to move your feet quickly. You have to be agile. You have to be able to take Ben Cleveland, you know, he's 6'6", 350 pounds. He has to be able to move laterally back and forth. He has to be able to use his hands. Like, you can't just be a lump there.
You've never seen Joe Jacoby.
If anyone told me I had typewriter for feet, I wouldn't want to be compared to some archaic form of
movement.
I mean, I just, the thing that pops into my head is not, ooh, that is modern and fast and quick.
He's got a quill and a bottle of ink for right. feet.
So I went to his NFL.com draft page thing where they do all, this is like where all of the really weird descriptions of players come from during draft week, you know, like they kind of like do like the weird analogies and say things where it sounds like they're talking about like prize horses, but they're actually football players. And the first bullet under weakness for Ben Cleveland is feet get too close together in his slides. So going back to what Amin said with the typewriter sliding thing, maybe that's where the typewriter analogy comes from. The sliding feet.
Chris, I think Amin might be right on this. I think you and I have it wrong, even as it is a compliment, but it doesn't sound like a compliment. Billy, do you wish to weigh in here? Do you have any opinions one way or the other on whether typewriters for feet is how it, if we're describing this correctly or not?
Wow. So typewriters for feet would sound heavy, but if you had typewriter knees, then you'd be moving quickly, right?
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill, for nothing.
That's good.
Yeah. We're the squeaky chair.
Appreciate your contributions to the
right
conversation.
Now, I didn't know what we were
talking about. Excellent. Awesome. Stellar work from you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I've never spoken to Lewis Riddick before, but I have his number in my phone, and I just texted him asking about typewriter for feet.
Dan, if I'm going to break a news story, what hashtag should I use at the start of it?
Dookie Bob.
It's not sports related. Oh. I have a story I'm going to break.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to tweet it out.
You're going to break that chair, too.
Yeah. What should the hashtag be?
Hashtag news. Hashtag breaking.
No, you shouldn't hashtag. It should be breaking in all caps followed by a colon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one takes me seriously.
Hashtag breaking.
That is true.
I would think, Whitty, you would be pro hashtag. That's weird to hear from you.
No, because when you see news on your Twitter timeline,
it's breaking,
you don't see
capital. Yep.
By the way, people abuse hashtags and @s.
See, like, I knew you'd have a strong opinion on
like, that. When you're trying to cleanly put a message out, I'd say maximum a combined 3 hashtags and @s. The second you get beyond that, no one's reading that. It's who's being communicated here and what? What's the subject matter? It's way too many @s and hashtags at that point.
Witty, here's the deal. Twitter, hashtags, irrelevant, because people can just search everything. So the hashtags are kind of like a throwback from a bygone era. Instagram, hashtags are everything.
Massive.
Hashtags are everything because that's how your posts get seen by people who don't follow
you. I mean, can I get Chip here for a segment somewhere? I understand that it's a big ask from me. It doesn't have to be this segment, but I would like to one segment from within the show. Maybe we introduce you as Chip because I do want this character to flourish around here, this broadcaster from another time. But Billy, I need to get to the news you're talking about. Hashtag Duke news, Dukie news. What are you thinking you're going to do here?
I have the breaking news. He has tweeted it out. I'm hoping that we have the Dukie sounder here. But Billy, do you want to deliver your own news? Because I saw
your tweet. You can do it, Stugatz.
All right. The Marlins are hosting a fan sweepstakes where one winner will have a personalized bobblehead made and featured in the Bobblehead Museum at their stadium for the remainder of the season.
Jessica just spit up food at how you pronounce museum.
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 He spells it with three E's. I mean, three E's between the S and the M. Museum.
There's a Z in there.
There is a Z in there. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Does Stugatz spell museum with two Z's and three E's?
Z-E-E-M. I mean.
This is what I hear when he says it.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only
so good. Billy, so explain the news to me here. What are you excited about? How did you learn about this? How is this breaking news from you?
Well, you know, Dan, you have to have sources and you keep your ear to the streets. And sometimes little birdies reach out and tell you things. I'm no different than Woj, okay? If we could get to the bottom of the Woj story, which it doesn't seem like we're going to. And, you know, did some digging and I found out today. Sweepstakes, Dan. Dan, you should enter. You think they'll pick you? One winner gets a personalized bobblehead made and placed in the Bobblehead Museum. Kate, have you been to the Bobblehead Museum at Marlins Park yet? Lone Depot Park, I'm sorry.
The museum? No.
Yeah, you're missing out. So basically, Lone Depot Park has this giant bobblehead museum. Jessica, have you been there yet or no?
No, I'm looking forward to it, though. Definitely going to be my first stop when we finish.
Oh, it should be. It should be. Well, they're on the road, so you can't go, I don't think. Actually, no, actually, they're coming back tomorrow. You can go tomorrow. You go check out the museum. It's this giant, basically, like, display case, and it vibrates so that the heads shake on all the bobbleheads, and it has hundreds, if not millions, of bobbleheads inside of it. Yeah.
So if one winner's going to have a...
Well, didn't think Billy could be worse than the way he ended the last segment, but he...
he dropped a dookie.
News, Dan.
He dropped the dookie.
Is that all you got, Billy, or is there more information on this that we should follow down the path?
I don't think we ever got the news.
Well, we got one lucky winner.
We did one lucky winner. We'll get a bobblehead. Is the news?
No, incorrect. Dan, you're not paying attention. One lucky winner will have a personalized bobblehead made and placed in the museum, and at the end of the season, they get to keep it. Break the big news here.
Keeps getting better.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it. Appreciate all of the draft analysis. I wanted.
So what
to
was
get
the typewriter question? Sorry, I was double verifying sources.
Knees quicker or something. I don't
know. The typewriter question. Which one of the typewriter questions? You were busy.
That doesn't matter.
You were busy working on the news, so you can't get to your job of distributing the poll questions. Okay. Very good.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Any other highlights from the draft weekend that anyone wanted to get to?
Aaron Rodgers taking a flamethrower to the entire draft. That was it for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Dolphins drafted a Notre Dame guy, Liam Eichenberg. Are you guys excited for that?
No, not really.
So Joe Horn mentioned that he didn't like that Aaron Rodgers took his son's shine at number eight, his son number eight. And Jessica, you'll get used to that. I just pivoted, ignoring your question because of how flat it felt. J.C. Horn, the son of Joe Horn, was complaining that he went at number eight and that Aaron Rodgers stole all the attention and then had to walk it back and apologize because Aaron Rodgers didn't take a flamethrower to anybody. Aaron Rodgers hasn't put his words on any of this stuff. People have just found out that he's unhappy.
I mean, it's pretty convenient. The timing of that was fairly convenient. If to me, it was like a reminder of, hey, this draft is going on and I understand what it means and its significance, but I'm more important than an NFL draft. Holy, I'm the MVP.
I didn't realize that. Man, if that was purposely leaked by Aaron Rodgers right before the draft, he was getting back. He held out on that for a year. Like, if he did that on purpose, if that's something that was leaked on purpose by Aaron Rodgers' people right before the draft, that is a slight that he's holding on for 1 year with that organization because of what you guys did that to me on my draft day. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. If you believe that, I don't know Schefter got that story. I do know that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any great love for ESPN, so I can't imagine that he would be looking to ESPN to be giving stories.
I do believe that Aaron has every right to be upset and every right to do what it is that it appears that he's about to do. When you consider the fact that I think this is the first time they have taken a wide receiver in the draft in the first three rounds since 2015, when you have that guy as your quarterback with that small a window to try to win another championship with him, maybe get five more seasons, and you're not looking to upgrade the offense all the time, to me, that's ridiculous. Aaron has every right to be upset.
Well, let's backtrack, though, for a second, because we were talking about Woj earlier, and we were talking about these newsbreakers, and Schefter is right up there with Woj in terms of getting these stories that the local guys don't get. And we're always talking around here about the soap opera elements in sports and when things leak, who benefits from the leak, because that's probably where the leak came from. So who benefits from that leak? It's not the Packers.
It could be. I mean, if the Packers potentially put this story out there just to see what teams would call and what they could get for Aaron Rodgers in the first round before the first round started, I could see that benefiting them, and maybe they didn't like what they heard, so they were like, well, you know, it's not going to get back to us, so it's a good idea to kind of shop him, and people will believe that he put the story out there because he has a reputation for being disgruntled at times, like last year after Love was drafted. So I could see it coming from the Packers. I could also see it coming from Aaron Rodgers, because if he is truly unhappy, it is a good time to get traded.
Well, the reason I don't think that it came from the Packers or anybody other than Aaron Rodgers is because I don't hear Aaron Rodgers denying it. I don't hear Aaron Rodgers putting his voice on, how could you report something? Like, he's got a very loyal fan base in Green Bay for obvious reasons, a loyal fan base in Green Bay that he did not kneel on the anthem, even though he was supportive of the Kaepernick stuff, because that would have been a bad city to do that in terms of turning everyone against you. I would think that he would want to alleviate or soften for that fan base and for everyone there. If it were untrue, he could just say it. He doesn't even have to say it. He could just put out a press release, two sentences, like, bleep everyone, it's not true.
Yeah.
I think he's given that fan base enough. I don't think he owes that fan base anything. I think that team, that organization, owes Aaron a lot, and he doesn't feel like he's getting it.
It doesn't seem like the Packers would want that information out there. Even if they want to figure out exactly what they need to do or take calls, no franchise wants their star players, they don't like it here. They don't think that we're managing the team well. Like, that just doesn't seem
it's
like
a bad look. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even if you want to take draft calls, like, you just don't want people thinking that your star player isn't happy.
Well, to your point, Dan, during the Kentucky Derby, someone did ask him about the rumors, and he kind of brushed it off and said that he was disappointed that that story had gotten out or something like that. Like, he did not deny it. So, and everyone on Twitter was kind of saying, well, like, oh, I wonder how that happened then, Aaron. So, yeah, to your point, it does seem like it came from Cam Rodgers, but I don't know. I mean, why not just trade him then?
During that interview, he was wearing a name tag that said Turd Ferguson.
That is great. There was such a great tweet showing pictures of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady at the Kentucky Derby, and I am at a total loss for why those guys love that party so much that they all gravitate toward that party.
Wait, the Kentucky Derby? Have you ever been?
No.
Really? Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever been to the Derby here?
No.
Okay, well, no. I went to the Kentucky Derby. I will say it's fun, it's gross, and the mint juleps are overrated.
Wow.
The tweet was, nailed because it. Of the way they were dressed and because the photographs were perfect. It was Aaron Rodgers, slick back hair, sort of overlooking a railing. And I don't know how to describe what Tom Brady was wearing, but it did look like a movie where Aaron Rodgers was trying to catch Tom Brady and put him in prison. Like that is, yeah. Put them juxtaposed against each other was very good guy, bad guy, but the good guy doesn't have as much style as the bad guy does. The bad guy is better at being a bad guy than the good guy is at being a good guy.
Surprisingly, the suit was wearing Aaron Rodgers rather than the other way around. I imagine Aaron Rodgers dominates a suit, and for whatever reason, that one got the better of him.
So, he looked haggard. I mean, he did a little bit.
Haggard is what you would go with?
I mean, he really did. Brady looked a lot better.
Tom Brady looked better. Like, his face looks cleaner with fewer wrinkles and more Botox, but I don't believe that outfit is something that people...
Wait. Allegedly?
Allegedly. I mean, his face doesn't age. Like, the rest of him doesn't age either, but his face, he looks younger than he did 20 years ago. He's complaining about those photos that get released every year of him at the draft, shirtless and looking a little pear-shaped because he's totally changed and reinvented his body. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Tom Brady have fillers in his face? Yes or no?
Well, Tom Brady has clearly sold his soul to the devil. Right,
I believe we all.
The accusations just get worse and worse.
Reckless 36.
No, we all. Because Mort reported that like in 2014.
Yeah, I thought this was common. There is no other rational explanation for the last 20 years of his life other than he has made a deal with the devil. No, we don't believe this. All of us.
I definitely don't want to accuse him of putting Botox. I would be more likely.
What about the deal with the devil?
Yeah. I think I would be Which more
is
likely.
Botox is worse to you than a deal with the devil.
Sounds like defamation.
Fair
it
enough.
Is.
It's been it the is. Plot of a movie. But the Botox, I think, is a step too far for my journalistic credibility.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Hashtag Duke News doesn't want to talk about journalism and credibility.
Only one of us is breaking bobblehead news today.
That's right. Yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Worse accusation, you use Botox or you made a deal with the devil?
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.